special speaker, Tara, and who's going to introduce our main speaker, Jane.
I'm Tara, and I'm an alcoholic. Let me start with my sobriety date. It's September 1st, 2004. I do have a sponsor. I do have a home group. It's Full Flay from Reality. Good name. and it meets in York every Thursday from 7 to 8. And I do sponsor Girls in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm just going to share on sponsorship for about 4 or 5 minutes. Hopefully God will kick in before the 5 minutes is up. I'll say this, that I came into Alcoholics Anonymous desperate. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous like wanting a solution, you know. I drank from like 15 to 22, and I had no idea that I would be an alcoholic, okay? And you know, and what happens is I go to rehab, I go to the halfway house, you know, and I'm at this halfway house, and they say, you know, why don't you go to this recovery house? You can either go to Hazleton or you can go to York. And you know, all the girls in the halfway house are like, you know, there's all these hot dudes in York. That's where you should go. So like, that's why I went to York, okay? And So I get to this recovery house in York, Pennsylvania, and I'll tell you that I was full of fear. I will tell you that I was beaten down. I will tell you that my head was crazy, and that when I laid my head down to go to sleep, it was insane. It was insanity. You know what I mean? And what happened was, is like, there were some girls in my house that were going to Alcoholics Anonymous. And it just so happens, like, I was going to another fellowship, and I was dating this dude in AA, and, you know, and we were, like, you know, fighting. So, you know, and all these girls before were like, why don't you go to AA? Why don't you go to AA? And I'm like, no. And so, you know, so I'm going to go to an AA meeting to, like, you know, check on this dude, like, see what's up, see if he's there. And it's funny because, like, my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, like, I knew I belonged here. You know, I walked into these rooms, and I was like, this is where I belong, you know. And I went to my next meeting, like, the very next day, and there was this girl there. And, like, she was just, like, walking around the room, and she was glowing, you know. And she was, like, talking to all these girls, and she was happy. And she was cool, too. She looked cool, you know. She like, had it going on, like, style-wise. I was like, she's cool, you know. And one of the hardest things for me to do was, like, ask another woman for help at this point, you know. But I did. Like, I asked this woman to sponsor me, and she made it real simple for me. She said, Tara, I'm just going to put out both of my hands, and in one hand I'm going to put yours, and the other hand, I'm going to put God. And I'm just going to take you through these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and get you a relationship with God. You know, and it was simple as that. You know, she told me to call her every day. She told me to read 2 pages out of the big book. She told me to read the doctor's opinion. And what happens is like, I went through those 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I had that spiritual awakening. You know, and I called that sponsor every day, and I told her, like, all my craziness. You know, and she gave me a few simple directions, and I followed them. I follow them to the best of my ability. I might not have followed every single one of them, but I did to the best of my ability, you know. And as a result of that, like, you grow in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And I got to that point where, like, I started sponsoring girls in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And being around for a little bit, like, I truly believe, like, in my heart, that's one of, like, the best, one of the best gifts in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's, like, sponsor a girl, take her through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and see your life light up, you know, and, like, see your life grow, you know, and change, and have that psychic change, you know, because I was once that girl that, like, sat in those seats. It was, like, uncomfortable, irritable, and just couldn't get myself together, you know. I always visualized, like, this person that I wanted to be, but I can never get there, you know, and that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me, you know. And there's many, many, many more blessings that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. You know, I have this life. It's just, like, it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. Like, I go through periods where I'm like, life sucks. You know what I mean? Like, you go through stuff. And that's why I have a sponsor to, like, call her. And she, like, has an objective point of view that she can tell me, like, hey, like, this is what's going on. This is what you need to do. And you know, Alcoholics Anonymous rocks. And I'm going to be quiet so that I can introduce Jane, my sponsor. Hi, everybody. My name is Jane. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jane.
And that's
a recording.
Yeah.
All right. my sobriety date is November 15th of 2000. I have a home group. It's the Bug Light group. It's an awesome group. I love it. And we are having a group anniversary. It's going to be a good time. And we always get really into it, the group members. We love our home group. So, I have a sponsor, and I love her, and I just love Alcoholics Anonymous. I do. Let me tell you, I had one of those days today where I have a 2-year-old, almost 2-year-old at home, who's very, very sick. He's very, very sick. And he was up all night last night, and he was in bed with us just hacking all over me. You know what I mean? And sniffling, and, you know, and I'm up, and I'm like, I got to go to Jersey tomorrow night, and, you know, oh, my God. You know, and I said, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And I said, okay, God, you know, just make it obvious. And you know what? Tonight's, like, really cool because you guys know Facebook and, you know, MySpace, you know. Right, everybody, you're all into it, right? You know, and I, like, you know, there's this guy from high school, you know, who, you know, we, like, said, hey, and then he noticed I was a friend of Bill's, and he's like, hey, me too, you know, and he came tonight, and he's from my hometown, which I grew up in Ramsey, which is, like, about a half hour, 45 minutes, I guess, north of here, and so he came down, and then one girl that I knew from high school that, me and her, we got drunk together for the first time. We were just talking about it at dinner, you know. She also happens to be the great niece of Bill Wilson too, which is a trip. And she didn't come tonight, and she's not an alcoholic, and I wouldn't have either if I wasn't an alcoholic. You know? But she, you know, I hadn't seen her in like, oh God, I hadn't seen her like in 15 years, and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be in Chatham. She's like, hey, I live 6 minutes from there. And I'm like, would you, you know, you want to get together before the meeting? And she's like, I would love to. You know, and my perception is that she doesn't want anything to do with me. You know, I stopped being friends with her when we were sophomores in high school because she didn't drink the way that I drank. You know, she kind of looked like she drank the way that I drank, but she actually was like a good student and like school, and she was a good cheerleader, and she was like interested in other stuff besides getting drunk and seeing which boy liked her. Yeah. You know, she had other interests, and you know, I was just sitting with her, and you know, I needed to tell her that. I needed to tell her like it had nothing to do with you. Like I loved you. You were a great friend, and you know, she's like, I know that. And my perception is like she hated me, and you know, I just like completely like abandoned our friendship. You know what I mean? And she was like, no, you started hanging out with this group of people, and my brother told me if I hung out with them, he'd kill me. And she's like, so I didn't. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, you know. And it was really nice to be able to kind of reminisce with her a little bit, and she had old pictures of us from our cheerleading days. It was pretty funny, so that was a trip. Anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today. And thank you, Jim, for asking me. I haven't been to Chatham since you guys were in another part of this church, right? Like years ago, like probably like 5 or 6 years ago was the last time I was here. And I don't travel as much, having 2 kids at home and stuff like that. But every once in a while when I'm asked, I need to get inconvenienced for Alcoholics Anonymous. No matter how many kids I have, no matter what's going on in my life, I need to get inconvenienced. Because you know what? AA gave me everything I got. I have a husband and a home, and I have a job. I have the ability to suit up and show up every day because of AA. You know, and if AA asks, for whatever reason, if it's Chatham, New Jersey, you know what? I need to just get in the car and go sometimes and not really question it. You know, and it wasn't like today I wasn't thinking about, you know, I don't need to be in Chatham, New Jersey. You know, I said the whole time, I'm like, I really don't need to go to Chatham, and I'm just getting dressed. And, you know, it won't be a big deal if I don't show up in Chatham, you know, and I just kept getting dressed. You know, I just kept doing it. Even though my mind is telling me, stay home, you know, couch, you know. And I got up and came to Chatham, and we got here real quick. It was quick. So, anyway, what I was like, you know what? I was kind of a weird kid, and like I said, I grew up in Jersey. I was born in Teaneck, whatever. You know, my mom is a member of this fellowship. She's actually celebrating 40 years at the Young People's Group on next Thursday, or this Thursday coming up. And my dad drank. And growing up, I intuitively knew that I wanted not what my mom had. You know, I just saw a woman very unhappy. You know, and today she'll admit it. You know, she was a woman who came to meetings, and that's what she did. She came to meetings. She didn't get a sponsor. She didn't actively do the steps. She went to meetings. Now, she did some other stuff. We were talking about the way up here. She got involved in church and stuff like that, and she had some reprieves where she had some comfort and she had God. You know, I just wasn't really attractive to what she was doing. But my dad, you know, my dad could drink a few martinis, you know, and he could just be cool. You know what I mean? He'd just be hanging out at the bar with his cronies, and, you know, and you'd walk in, and, yeah, he was in a good mood all the time. And when he wasn't in a good mood, like, he never showed it to me. You know, I never saw the worst of him. Now, my mom has a completely different version of who my father was. But my perception was that, you know, he was just, you know, he was just like this happy little drunk. You know what I mean? So my, you know, my thing about alcohol wasn't bad. Now, I come from a long line of alcoholics. You know, everybody's, you know, somebody in my family's got an ism. You know, whether it be drinking or not, they got something. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know. And, you know, there's a lot of spiritual maladies in this world, you know, just, you know, we drink, you know, other people do other things, you know, and growing up, I never felt like I fit in, you know, I never felt like I was a part of anything, you know, nobody told me that, it wasn't like, you know, nothing like that, it was just like, I just felt that I didn't have that. Anyway, I shouldn't be drinking that. So I need to focus. I'm sorry. So growing up, I just never felt like I fit in. I never felt like I was a part of, you know, you hear that a lot in AA and stuff like that. And I always said, and I was like, I don't want to grow up and be an alcoholic. That wasn't my plan. You know, it wasn't like I didn't want to get strung out, you know, on crystal meth, you know. that wasn't like, you know, I wanted to be a dancer. I wanted things. I wanted to get married and have kids, you know, because society tells you that. You know, you meet him and you get the house and you're going to be happy. You know, or you get the job and you get the money and you get the career and you're going to be happy. You know what I mean? And that's what I wanted. But what I have is like alcoholism. So the way that I seek those things out is completely messed up. You know what I mean? My perception of how to get those things is screwed up. And I don't know where I got that perception. I don't know where I picked up these like weird life tools I got, but I got some weird ones. You know, and I'll give you a few examples. I will. So I went through high school, you know, and I was telling Brian, like, me and Brian went to high school together, and I'm like, I never remember, like, partying with you, you know? But I'm sure we crossed paths. Like, everything was like a blur. You know what I mean? I remember high school. I remember, you know, trying to fit in. I played volleyball, and I became a cheerleader, and I tried to fit in. And we went to school, a lot of people had a lot of money. Most of the kids went to school had a lot of money. They drove BMWs and Jeeps, and, you know, I had my little 82 Honda hatchback. You know what I mean? And I just never felt like I was, you know, and the girls, everyone was, like, real pretty and no makeup. And I used to wear, like, bright red lipstick and thick black liquid liner and my black leather jacket. You know what I mean? But I, like, tried to kind of fit in. But I kind of, like, knew. You know, I kind of knew I wasn't, like, going. You know, it wasn't working. And I had no interest. You know, I had no interest in school. You know, a lot of the kids I went to school went to college. They were smart. They were goal-oriented. I was like, I wanted to get drunk. I wanted to get drunk. That's what I wanted to do. And the first time I found it, it like relieved some boredom, and then I chased it. I became preoccupied with getting drunk and how I was going to get it. And that's what I wanted to do. And that was my high school career. You know what? I cared about getting drunk, and I cared about him. Whoever he was at that moment, that's who I cared about. You know, and I was obsessed with, like, boys. I mean, I was. I mean, if you even looked at my way, I was like, I think he likes me. I think he likes me, now I like him. You know what I mean? I mean, it was insane. It was insane. So, like, that's what I did. And, like, I started hanging out with, like, a lot of these, like, older guys. You know, I was, like, 16, like, a bunch of guys that, like, graduated. You know, and you know the group. Or your friends know exactly what I'm talking about. There's, like, these group of guys that, like, still hang out and party with, like, all the high school kids. Like, they don't go anywhere. You know what I mean? You know, and those were, like, my, that was, like, my crew, you know. And I hung out with these guys, and you know what? You know, they got me drunk, and I gave them what they wanted. And that's how it was. And I had no scruples about it. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to get drunk, and I wanted to party. And I wanted to be liked, and I wanted to be accepted. And I didn't care, you know. And I barely graduated, and you know what? And I got... You know, I've been thinking about high school a lot, just from Facebook and bumping and, you know, all these people, you know, those, like, you're like, oh my God. You know, people get on Facebook and I'm like, I gotta, like, get my yearbook out, because I'm like, who the hell is that? You know? And I finally graduated, and I barely graduated, I mean, by the skin of my teeth. And you know, like, my high school yearbook, like, I'm not in it at all. Like, I'm not in it. Like, our big senior picture, I'm not there. I don't know where I was, but I'm not there. Like, all these pictures, I'm not there. I got kicked off the cheerleading squad. I got kicked off everything. I was not an example of anything. I mean, I was just kind of like a loser. So anyway, and I got to, you know, I barely graduated, and my dad happened to be a professor. I'm going to speed it up here. It's fairly ridiculous down there in Teaneck, or the Madison, there's a campus in Madison, too. My dad was a law professor there. And, he got me into, like, this special program, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't very smart. And I went for, like, 2 weeks, you know? And what happened was, I was at this party, I was at this New Year's Eve party, and I was hanging out, and I was in Fort Lee. I don't know how I wound up in Fort Lee, but I was there, and I was at this party, and I drank alcoholically from the time I picked it up, and I did anything else that would get me outside of me. You know, I have alcoholism. I have that peculiar mental twist. That's what I have. And I'm full flight from reality. I'm exactly what the doctor's opinion talks about. I got all that. Okay? You know, but when you're introduced, when other stuff's introduced in the picture, I'm going to do it because that's who I am. You know what I mean? So, you know, I was introduced to, you know, other substances, and I'm at this New Year's Eve party, and I'm in the bathroom, like, every 15 minutes, you know. And this guy walks in the door, and you know what I'm talking about, ladies? You know what I mean? Like, him. Yeah. And he walked in the door, and I noticed something, like, right off the bat from him. Like, he didn't party. He was, like, hanging out, like, just having a good time. He had his hands in his pocket. He was very cool, under control. I'm like, you know, I'm a freaking mess, you know. And I just thought, he's the one. And I proceeded to stalk him. I was a great stalker. I was. And I set my sights on him. And he caved in, you know. And you know what? We went out for about 3 months. You know, in that 3 months, I think he realized he couldn't have gotten a dog and been a lot happier. You know, I pretty much moved into his mom's house, got on her couch, proceeded to eat her food, put on about 10 pounds, you know, and just wait for him. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you going? Okay, I'll be right here. You know, then he'd leave, I'd be like, hey, where you at? Where are you going? What are you doing? You know? Why aren't you home yet? You know? You know, I'd be like, you know, so he was like, yeah, he was like, I'm getting a dog. So, you know, and that's what I did, because you know what I did? I stopped partying to be with him because he didn't party. But see, if you take alcohol and drugs away from somebody like me, I get worse. You know, so what starts to happen to me is my mind starts going. And you know, he started becoming my obsession. You know, what are you doing? Where are you going? You know, am I fat? Am I getting fat? Why are you looking at her? What is that about? You know, da 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 da. You know what I mean? And to a normal guy, that gets old. You know? Like, an alcoholic guy, you know, he might ride that out with you for a little while. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know where you going. You know what I mean? But for a normal guy, they're like, you know, he was done. And I was devastated. I mean, I was just so devastated. I couldn't handle it. And he was like my first, like, 'cause I didn't really have a relationship up to that point. You know, I had sex, but I never had like a relationship. And that wasn't a relationship either. That was me sitting on his couch, waiting for him to come home. That's what that was. But I thought it was, and I was in love, and I was devastated. And you know, my dad had said to me, he said, "Hey, you know, why don't you get out of Jersey?" And I said, "You know what, Dad, you're right." And he's like, "You know, Jersey's the problem." I'm like, "You're absolutely right. Jersey's the problem." He's like, "Look, I met a chick out in San Francisco. She's a really nice lady. We're kind of dating. She's got a nice apartment out there in San Francisco. You know, in the South Embarcadero. It's beautiful. You know, just a really nice city, and you can have a fresh start." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what I need." You know? And Bill talks about that in his story, like after the stock market crash. Like, we have this amazing ability to get a new idea, don't we? And get hope. You know? And that's what happened. I got this new idea and I got hope. And I'm like, I'm going to California. And I'm telling, I'm laughing, but I believe this to my core. I am like, I'm going to be going to California. And I'm just going to be walking down the street. And I'm just going to be looking cute. And I'm just going to be at the right place at the right time. And somebody's going to be like you. And I'm going to be like me. And they'll be like, "Come with me. I want to make you a star." And I'll be like, "I know. You know? And I want to give you a good check." You know what I mean? So I am like under this delusion that I'm going to go out west and be discovered. You know? Now here's the thing. I remember driving with my Coke Classic, like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go get discovered." And I remember, like, you know, I think back to how delusional I was, because, you know, people who like really want something, like, they know how to work for it. You know, people who are like want to be on stage and they want to act, they like go on auditions and they like do stuff. You know, no, not me. I'm just gonna be looking good at the right place, right time. You know, I deserved it. And that didn't happen, obviously. I got to California, it was like, I guess it was like 93 or something like that, and I got out to California, and, you know, my stepmom, she was like this hippie, like, she was like this ex-hippie, pot-smoking woman, you know, I'm woman, hear me roar type woman, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, I rolled up and she had like, you know, she had a drinking buddy, you know, and, you know, she proceeded to whip out like the best bag of green butt I've ever seen in my whole entire life and a fake ID. And I was like, "I'm home." Like, I was like, "Oh." You know, I was just so happy. I thought I had arrived, you know, and I was in San Francisco and I hit every bar. I mean, Chinatown and the Hate, Ashbury, and I was with the bikers, and I was with the Rastafarians, and you know, whatever, man, you know what I mean? You know, I had no goal, I had no purpose but to get drunk. That was it. Get as obliterated as I could, you know? And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I met a musician, kind of a rock star in his day. But he had a little crack problem by the time I met him. You know? And that was all right, because I was going to fix that. You know? And I believe that. You know, I believe that. I just believe you need the right woman. You know, we're going to get your career back, and we are going to just, you know, ride the wave of celebrityism. You know, I didn't know what I thought, but I mean, I had ideas. You know, none of them consisted of me smoking crack. You know what I mean? They were all to save him. I didn't know. I was 19. I was naive. You know, looking back, if you would have told me that when I was 19, I was like, "You don't even know where I've been and what I've done." You know, I was like, "I know everything." You know what I mean? 34, looking back, I'm like, I was dumb. I was naive. I had no idea what what I was in for, you know what I mean? And he was 39, and he was a lot older, and you know, but we really didn't have anything in common. We really didn't, you know, we had getting drunk in common, you know? And, you know, my idea of a relationship is getting drunk, beating the shit out of each other, and then having sex. And then we get drunk again. You know? A good relationship was you didn't beat the shit out of each other. You know what I mean? You know, that was it. That's what I, you know, that's my idea of a relationship. So I'm with this guy. I'm out in California. You know, I spent 5 years out in California. I have a lot of funny stories, but I want to kind of get into recovery. I have a lot of funny stories. I have a lot of, you know, and I have a lot of horror stories, you know, and I got very sick, and I did live with Rastafarians, and I lived on this commune, and I lived on a bus, and I was getting along with John, you know, whatever, and, you know, I found something that kept me up for years, and I stayed up for a few years, you know, and I wrote a book and did artwork, and, you know, my third eye opened and I found truth, you know, and I knew the answers to the world, and I, you know, contemplated why everything was screwed, you know what I mean? I knew everything, you know. I think everybody goes through that phase, you know, where you get to this, you know, you just sit down and, you know, figure out the problems of the world. And like, if we were God, how much better it would be, you know. And I got very sick, and I got, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically very sick. And, you know, I OD'd, I wound up in hospitals, I wound up in jail, I lost my mind, you know. You don't sleep for 3 years, you get sleep deprivation and you hallucinate, you know. And little green men do exist. The mothership did land, you know, the whole nine, you know. I was completely and totally out there, you know. My dog could drive my car. I mean, I was gone, you know. I walked around the street naked, thinking like I was somewhere else, you know what I mean? Just, you know, they locked me up. You know, you can't be walking around the street naked. You know, but I thought I was something that I wasn't, I guess. I don't know. I was really sick. I got really, really sick. And I wasn't raised that way, and looking back, it was sad. But it's funny. You know, I think it's funny now because I know what it is. You know, I know what I have. I know what I had then. I didn't know at the time. You know, and a lot of things led up to that point. You know, I wasn't, that relationship ended, and it teared me up. You know, and I didn't want to feel anything. I didn't want to feel. I had to go through the motions of life because that's what they told me I had to do, but I didn't want to feel anything while I was doing it. And that drug allowed me to do that. You know, allowed me to go through the motions. And I got to, I got real sick and yada, yada, yada. And finally, you know, I went to Tahoe. And you know, my brother who partied like me was like, look, you know, you got to get out of here. He's like, you're dying. And I was real mad at him because I was like, you got what I got. And he might, you know, he's still out in Tahoe, man. He just hangs out and smokes his bong and skis. He can do it. You know, he's 40 and he's just content. You know what I mean? I couldn't, you know. And I came back to Jersey, and I detoxed, and, you know, I went to, I came home. I hadn't been home in 5 years. I came home. Actually, I came home for a little while, and then I left and went back to California, and I came home again. And, you know, I went out with some friends. We went to this bar in a few towns over, which is Ridgewood. I mean, you guys, because I could say that, because you guys know Jersey, right? I was in Ridgewood. We were at this bar, and we were hanging out. And I hadn't seen my friends in, like, 5 years, you know? And it's the first time they're seeing me. And we're at this bar, and my friend Kristen looks at me, and she's like, hey, we're going to leave. And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay here with Mike and Joe. She's like, who the hell are Mike and Joe? I'm like, I don't know. But I'm staying with Mike and Joe. And I don't know if those are their names. I'm just saying that. But they were just two random guys that I decided that I was going to stay with. And the next thing you know, I'm being thrown out of a moving car. And the next thing you know, I'm at a phone booth. And the next thing you know, she's picking me up. She had to get out of bed. It was like 4 or 5 in the morning, you know? And that's what I do when I come home. the first night after seeing my friends for 5 years. That's how I roll, you know. And I don't, you know, I came back from California convinced that I was a drug addict. I got convinced I was a drug addict, you know, and I went to the fellowship you go when you're convinced that you're a drug addict. I always knew that I had alcoholism, but here's the kicker. I was totally fine with that. You know? I didn't mind being an alcoholic. We grew up, man, everybody parties. We all call ourselves alcoholics. And AA is like voodoo. You know, you don't even mention it. You know what I mean? And I was okay being an alcoholic as long as it worked. You know, as long as it did for me what it did. But I knew, like, I couldn't do drugs. You know, I knew that. And, like, I went to the fellowship that you go to, and I wanted to learn how to, the big book talks about it. And I didn't know, I never had words for it until the big book came along. But I wanted to learn how to control and enjoy my drinking. You know, that's like the great obsession of every single one of us. How do I control and enjoy it at the same time? Because you don't. You either enjoy it or you control it. You know? And that's what I wanted to learn how to do. I wanted to learn how to drink. You know? Because my dad would be like, Jane... He's like, Jane, let me tell you something. You stick to the beer and the wine and you're going to be fine. And I was like, you're absolutely right, Dad. That's exactly what I need to do. And my dad, like, he had the best heart. He meant that, you know? But I didn't understand. Like, I didn't get that. I wanted to do that. I did. And I couldn't get this thing. I went to the fellowship. I went to that fellowship. It did not last. I was not interested in doing certain things. You know, they were like change people, places, and things. And you know what? I worked in restaurants since I was, you know, 14. And they were like, you know, you should give that up. And I was like, no. And they were like, you should, you know, change friends. And I'm like, no. And, you know, basically I put a lot of conditions on my what I was going to do as far as Alcoholics Anonymous was, or the other fellowship was concerned. And I winded up drinking and I continued to drink. At this point, I'd moved down to Pennsylvania because my mom was selling her house and moving down here, and I didn't really have any options, and I'm trying to speed it up, and I got down here, and I got a job in a restaurant, and I started drinking, and for the next 3 years, I drank alcoholically the way that I like to drink. I went to work. I worked. Before my shift ended, I needed to drink. I started drinking. I drank all the way up until they told me I could not drink there anymore. I took what I needed home, and I drank all the way until I passed out. Every few weeks or so, I bump into the man. You know who the man is. We were like, you know, lost puppies in a crowded room. You know, we just found each other. You know what I mean? And he would just, you know, and I could find him anywhere I went. And sometimes, you know, what would happen is I would go off on a bender for a week or two or 3 weeks, you know, and somebody would, a friend of mine or a boss or something, would reel me in, you know, snap out of it, get your shit together, do what you got to do, and I would clean myself up and do what I got to do, and I'd do that again. I did that for 3 years, and I would have been fine, you know, living that way. You know what I mean? I was okay with that. I was fine. I liked the way I liked my life. I like going to bars. I like that they knew me. I like sitting at the bar. I like getting my drinks. I love the smell of it. I loved it. I used to go to this place called the Eagle's Nest. It was like dirty and dingy and smelly, and it's great. It's great. I loved it. And you know, anytime like me and my husband, like even today, there's like this place, like there's like a couple bars, you know. I'll just throw my head in there. I'll be like, just wanting to get away. You know, and you know, what happened was on February 5th, I was at this wedding, and that night my dad died, and on February 6th I was working, and my mom came in and she told me that my father died the night before, and it was sudden and unexpected, and it devastated me, and you wouldn't have known it at the time, because at this point I'm 25 years old. I've been drinking since I was like 12, 13, at this point, I didn't feel much, you know, I just, you know, it was kind of like, oh, like, okay, and I really wanted to keep working, I mean, the last thing I want to do is like sit in the car with my mother after hearing that. That was just uncomfortable, weird, and you know, I couldn't even process it. But what happened was my drinking changed, and it messed me up. You know, from that moment, and that's the only moment that I can remember till I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. My last drink was actually October 23rd, but I was on the marijuana maintenance program till about November 15th. Well, I didn't know. I was like, I'm not drinking. You know, I mean, I didn't get it. You know what I mean? And I share that because every once in a while, somebody will come up in the meeting and be like, oh, I don't think I'm sober. You know? I didn't know. You know what I mean? I didn't know that that wasn't sobriety. And you know, my intentions were good. And when I figured it out, I remember being like 2 or 3 months sober when I figured it out. I was like 2 or 3 weeks sober when I figured it out. Like, you know, and I was like, I can't lose that time. You know what I mean? I was like, I got to hold on to this one for a little bit. I waited until I was about 4 months sober before I got honest with it. Because I just couldn't lose that 3 weeks. You know how important that is when you're new? I was like, no. my ego just wouldn't let me do that. So my dad died, and the end of my drinking just got, you know, I'm sum it up. The big book talks about it. I couldn't control my emotional nature. You know, I would just have temper tantrums. I'm 25 years old, and I'm having full-blown temper tantrums because I can't get my key in the door. You know what I mean? I'm depressed. I'm suicidal. I had one boyfriend. I got another boyfriend. I inherited some money. I blew all the money. I just lost my mind. And, you know, and it was one night I was ODing, and I knew I was ODing because I've OD'd before. And I got on my knees, and I begged for my life. I don't know why. I was just at that point, you know. I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I wanted some joy. I wanted happiness. The best way that I can describe it is that I wanted to be like 7 again. I wanted to be like home and safe, you know, and like watching the Smurfs, you know, and eating cereal. You know what I mean? I wanted, like, that innocence, you know, and building forts and shit. You know, I wanted that, you know? And what I had was I was surrounded by wolves, you know? I was surrounded by wolves in my life. I mean, I didn't trust anybody. I didn't feel comfortable anywhere. If we had a conversation, I'd be like, what are you looking at? Why are you looking at me like that? I lost the ability to laugh and have fun and enjoy life, you know? Everything was scary and threatening. You know, I was always like, what do you think? Why are you looking at me? If you had a conversation, I'm like, are you talking about me, man? You know, I didn't trust anybody. It was just scary, man. Life was scary. And I wanted something different. I did. And I got on my knees and I begged for my life. And you don't have to believe that. And I believe that I was at the point in my life where I was ready and willing. And God knew that. And He heard my prayer. And I got grace, okay? I don't believe that moment keeps me sober today. I just believe that moment gave me just enough to get into these rooms, you know? Because from that moment on, I took certain actions that were not... I mean, I was Miss I Know Everything. Thank you very much, been there, done that. I was very cocky. I was a lot of ego. And at that point, I was very much like, I just want to go home to my mom. Like that boyfriend, I was like, okay, bye. See ya. You know what I mean? And he was like, bye. He was done with me anyway. I just want to be home with my mom. And I called her up and she's like, oh yeah, come home. She was very happy. And really, making my mom happy was like the last thing on my agenda. You know, I was very hateful to her. I was very spiteful to her. And, but you know, I didn't care. Like it wasn't about her, you know? And I went home and I started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started, I hope I don't go over, I'm so sorry. And I started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was so excited to be here. I was. A lot of people don't say that, but I was really, really happy to be here. I was so happy. I loved it. I went to, like, 3 meetings a day. I was unemployable. I was. I was like brain dead, man. I still am. My husband, like, he's like, you're burnt, you know? Like, he'll have a conversation with me. I'm like, you know, I'll just, you know, and I was brain dead. And, you know, so all I was qualified to do was, like, get a job for, like, $6 an hour. You know, that was it. That's all I was qualified to do. I didn't have an education. I didn't have a college education. You know, I had to answer phones in a dog grooming shop and teach gymnastics. I'm not a gymnast. I don't know why they gave me that job. I make a joke because it's, you know, it was so random, and I was so scared to go there, and they were so nice to me, and, you know, I'm all tatted up and swearing, and they're like, you know, they're like, you got to cover those, and stop swearing at the kids, and I was like, you know, I'm like, I'm so sorry, you know what I mean? You know, they were so nice to me, and these 8-year-olds just scared the living crap out of me. You know what I mean? And I was so scared. And I used to think I was like this tough girl, and they just would like bring me to my knees. You know what I mean? And you know, and I did that, and you know, I got this job in AA. You know, and I would call my sponsor, and she's like, "You just show up. You show up on time." And I got to the rooms, and I got a sponsor, and she's like, "You just kept going. And you just keep doing what you're doing." And my first sponsor was great, and she was much about the book, and, you know, she was kind of going through a difficult period in her life, and, you know, they said, don't get in a relationship, and I said, well, you know, he's really cute, you know, he's really cute. I met my husband from across the room, and so I stalked him, and that's what I do, and I got in a relationship. You know, and after about a year of sobriety, you know, there was a group of people really in York that were really active and really, and I really didn't like them. Thought they were a little too much AA, a little too much Big Book, a little too much. You need all that. And but the truth was, I put a lot of negative energy into them, and they put none into me. And what started to happen is I started to get very interested in what they were doing, and I went to like the safest guy I could, and he proceeded to become my sponsor for the next 5 years, and I love this guy, and he presented Alcoholics Anonymous to me, and the steps to me in this really simple, beautiful way, and you know, he really helped me to learn how to work with others, you know, and we did a lot of traveling, and you know, I started sponsoring a lot of girls, and I started to see that, you know, I needed to be of service, you know, in my life, you know, and I started to do a lot of those things, and you know, he's taught me that there, you know, there's no right or wrong here, you know, there's no right or wrong. It's only, you know, it's only experience, and, you know, prices to pay sometimes, you know, and I was, you know, I was so grateful for him, and I was so grateful, and, you know, and as I'm going through this, I get pregnant, you know, and that was a little surprise, you know, and I'm in this relationship, and like I said, my idea of a relationship is you fight, you have sex, and you fight again. You know, I don't know how to be in a relationship. I don't know how to be kind and loving towards another human being. I know how to be kind and loving towards you guys. I can shine it here. I'm like, hi, you know what I mean? But when I go home, you don't get the best of me. I just gave the best of me right here. You're going to get the crap. You're going to get the junk. You're going to get the bad mood, the you don't know what happened to my day. You know what I mean? And that's what I thought you were there for. That's what I thought a relationship was. So I could be myself, the negative, crappy human being that I truly am. You know? Needless to say, that caused problems in my relationship. And you know what happened? We started to hate each other, and we started to have a lot of problems. And luckily, I didn't get drunk. And luckily, he didn't get drunk through this time. You know, but what happened was I went and I was in this, you know, I didn't know what to do, and I moved out, and he asked me to marry him, and I thought that was a good idea. And what happened was I went to, we just didn't know how to get along. I didn't know how to do this thing. And my sponsor said, look, why don't you go talk to this woman down in Virginia? And that woman down in Virginia is my sponsor today. Her name is Sammy G. And if you guys know her, she's a phenomenal lady in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, she just taught me, she helped me grow up. She taught me how to be a woman and a wife and a mother, because I did not know how to do any of those things. And she has a lot of grace and a lot of style, and she does it with a sense of humor, and I really appreciate that. And I went down to her and I said, look, I'm in this relationship and I don't know what I'm doing. And she said, well, this is what I want you to do. She said, I want you to go home, and she said, this is exactly what I want you to do. She said, you're going to do it? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, I want you to go home, and she said, I want you to treat him like a king. She said, and what that means is, she said, would you have to pay for that rent if he wasn't there? I'm like, yeah. She goes, then pay the rent. She's like, would you have to take out the trash if he wasn't there? And I was like, yeah. She goes, then take out the trash. She goes, and when his phone rings, I don't want you to ask him who's on it. And when he walks out the door, I don't want you to ask him where he's going. And she said, when he talks to you, I want you to look him in the eye, and I want you to act interested in what he's saying. And I want you to learn about him, you know? And I'm listening to this like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, and she said, when you speak of him, you never say a bad word about him ever. Not to his face and not behind his back, even if you're fighting. You know? And she said, and you cook him dinner and you say, yes, honey. You do all those things. And I'm like, he is going to play me for a fool. You know? That's what I'm thinking. I was like, I'm going to be a sucker. And she said, and what's going to happen is, she said, as this man is on a spiritual path and he's a man about God, he's intuitively going to pick up on what you're doing and he will follow. Which means, when his phone rings, he'll let you know who's on it. When he walks out the door, he's going to tell you where he's going. He's just going to take out the trash because he knows the trash got to be taken out. He's going to offer to pay the bills, or help pay the bills, I should say. When you need him to listen and get to know you, he will. And he will always treat you with kindness and respect. And she goes, and if he doesn't, it should be very clear to you whether you should be spending the rest of your life with this man or not. And I had a solution. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. I had a solution right there. And no shit, this is in the big book, Into the Wise, which I had no idea until, you know, I read it one day and I call her up. I'm like, there, it's right here. She's like, yeah, it's right there. You know? And you know what? I went home and I did that. And guess what? He intuitively picked up and he followed. You know, and I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. And we got married, and I walked down the aisle, and I wasn't like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? I was like, cool. I'm going to marry him, you know. And we've married like 4 years. We had another son. And I'll tell you something. We try to adhere to this. We really do. We're not Algie and Harriet. We do get wayward sometimes. But anytime we get wayward, we can like look at each other and be like, we're not doing it. You know, and we try to get back to the principle of that. You know, I've learned a lot in AA. You know, I've sponsored a lot of women. I went through a period where I sponsored women because I cared what you thought about me, and I had to look like Joe AA. You know, I wanted to be Miss AA. I wanted to sponsor everybody. I had the solution. You know, I wanted to do everything and be everything, and I really went through a period in my recovery where I had to learn how to want to help people, to really see them be helped, you know, and I don't know what that is for everybody, you know. I don't know what everybody needs to do. All I know is that the 11th step shows you how to pray, you know, and the 11th step says that God disciplines us. And the way that he does it in the 11th step is he teaches us how to ask him for guidance, direction, when we're agitated and we're doubtful. You know, he teaches us to ask, you know. And it says that over and over again in the 11th step. And I went through a period in my recovery where, you know, I just really had to learn how to ask God. You know, and my sponsor was very vague on that. You know, I went through a period in my sobriety where I couldn't control my emotional nature, and like I did when I was drinking. And I had to learn how to grow up in AA, you know. I had to learn how to become a woman and be mature. I had kids, you know, and I'm like fighting with them, you know. I'm like fighting with my 3-year-old. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. You know, it was awesome. And I thought I was winning. You know, like today my son was like, it's like 17 degrees out. My son's like, I'm going outside with Dad. I was like, well, you need to put a coat on. He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, all right, then go outside with Dad. Comes in like 10 minutes later, he's like, yeah, you're right, it's freezing. I'm like, all right. Yeah, I didn't have to do much there. So, I've got tremendous blessings in AA. I've learned how to be a mother and a wife, and a friend. You know, I'm going to share real quick and then I'm going to shut up. But, you know, I did the only thing that I had in AA when I came in here was a lot of willingness. A lot of willingness and honesty. You know, I didn't hold anything back, and I was willing to do whatever you said to do. I've made my mistakes. I'm 5 years sober. I like went through this thing where like this career thing, you guys go, you know, go through that, right? And decided to go like wait tables again for a minute to figure out what I wanted to do. And I was in between sponsorships, so I was kind of sponsorless, you know, and I stole the money. I stole it. I'm 5 years sober and I stole it. You know? And I was going to get drunk. You know? And I had to call somebody up and they're like, you stole it. And I was like, okay. You know? And I'm in bed with my husband and my husband loved it, you know? He's like, ha-ha. You're 5 years sober and you stole. You know? And I'm like, shut up! You know what I mean? And I had to go back and make an amends. You know? So I haven't done AA perfectly. You know, a couple years ago, my husband's seven and a half years sober, and he decides to go smoke some crack. I don't, you know, one day. He just had it. He just, I want to go smoke crack, and he smoked crack. So devastating. You know? He owns a business, and he just, money and all that stuff just got more important. You know? Just got more important. And it just got overwhelming, and that's what we do. You know? And it taught me a lot. I was so, you know, my first thought was like, what are people going to think of us? You know, immediately. You know, what are they going to think of us? But I'm so grateful for that happened because it shed that idea. It shed that idea of I don't care what people think about us. You know? Because my, you know what? It was a tremendous lesson in life. It was a tremendous lesson in like, you know, AA gave us so much, and if we allow it to get in the way, we're going to get drunk, because that's what we do, you know. And he's coming up on 2 years again, you know, and he got back in AA, and I'm very grateful for that, and he's doing great, and he's involved and active like he was, and he's happy, and I'm really happy for that. But when that happened, it was devastating. So my point, so like, it's not like I have a point, but we've walked through things in AA. We've walked through life, you know. In the 8 years that I've been sober, life happens, you know. It doesn't have to. I used to be scared. I used to hear stories like that when I was sitting in, like, my first 2 years, like, that sucks. Like, how, like, I don't want to get sober if that's what life is. But here's the thing. I've gotten tools in AA. I've gotten these wonderful gifts that, like, when stuff like that happened, I had people around me, I had direction, I had purpose, I had God. When my husband went back out, I knew that I was going to be fine, with or without him. I was okay, you know? That's what Alcoholics Anonymous gave me. It gives me the ability to breathe and be comfortable in my skin through life. Because life is going to happen. It's going to happen. You lose jobs, you get jobs, you lose friends, relationships end. None of that goes away because you're in these rooms. But what you have is this tremendous ability. What I have is this tremendous ability to have this connection with a God that when it does happen, I don't freak out. You know? Because when I used to get in fear, man, I had nothing to control that. And today it's like, I'm going to be okay. I can still get up every day and go to my job and do what I gotta do. My thinking, I don't have to, you know, I have this, you know, I have this alcoholic head, you know, when you take away the booze, I have this head that will talk to me, you know, and the only solution I have for it is God. And I have this head, you know, that if I don't have a lot of God, and I pray throughout the day, I'm a sick one, I really am. I need a lot of God and I need a lot of prayer. And like, I have his head. I know. I have his head, man. You know, that'll lie to me daily. You know? Tell me that my husband is a jerk, that he's looking at her. You know? Tell me that my boss is trying to get over on me. They're taking advantage of me. You know? And if I listen to that, if I listen to that and I believe that that's going to be the truth, you know, I'm going to get sick and die. That's just the truth of my life. You know? If I know what that is, and I say, okay, God, I'll start getting, you know, my thinking will change, things will change. You know, I'm sorry, I ran over, I apologize, that 5 minutes kind of threw me off there. But I've had the extra 5 minutes just kind of threw me off. So I've had a wonderful journey. I'm sorry, I'm a little, I kind of was a little all over the place tonight, I do apologize. But I've had a wonderful journey in AA. I've had a great time. Even tonight, I was sick, I wasn't in the mood to come. We jumped in the car. I'm having a great time. You know what I mean? I'm so happy to be here. We'll jump in the car. We'll have a great time on the way home. I'll be a little tired tomorrow. But I'll be like, I'm so glad I came. You know? I'm so glad that I did that. So, thank you.
Thank you. We have a nice way of closing.